I am Plant on the Line in Vancouver at thecommentary.ca. Jack Christie's back on the program and back with a new book. It's a new edition of his popular 52 Best Day Trips from Vancouver. The subtitle on the front of the book says it all, quote, an updated guide to the region's best parks, lakes, beaches, trails, including the new Sea to Sky Trail from Squamish to Darcy. He has been dubbed Mr. BC and is regularly read regularly in the Georgia Strait and seen on Shaw TV's The Rec Report, hosting The Rec Report. In 2004, he received the Tourism British Columbia Tourism Media Award. The book is published by Greystone. The website for more is at jackchristie.com. Please welcome back to the Plant Online program, Jack Christie. Good morning, Mr. Christie.
Hey, good morning, Joe. Thanks very much for inviting me back on your show again.
You're very welcome. And I guess we still live on the same street, don't we?
Yes, we do, and it's a beautiful morning here in East Vancouver.
It is, yeah. Yeah, that's a funny thing. We live across the street, but I don't think we've ever met, have we?
Well, I would hope that at one of those block parties that the neighbors are so good at organizing that we've crossed paths.
I've never actually gone, actually. I've never been.
Oh, shame on you. You've missed some good burgers.
I have, yeah. Yeah. So this is a revised edition.
Yes.
Of a book that you did. Now, when was the first time this book came out?
1989.
Yeah.
In its previous incarnation, when we first brought this out, it was simply called Day Trips from Vancouver. And over the years, I guess we bumped it up from about 35, 36 chapters to now it's up to 52. And numbers are a big driving force in the guidebook market these days. And also in magazines, Joe, I'm sure you notice, you know, every time you look around in a magazine, it's got a number on it, you know, the top 10 best getaways. And numbers are very important these days, it seems, in terms of driving readership.
And in terms of the numbers going up, you write about this in the book, there's a reason for that. The number of parks has increased in this area too, haven't they?
Has it ever? It's probably the regional parks, for example, have probably doubled since the book first came out. There's probably a dozen or so Metro Vancouver parks, or GVRD parks as they were known then. Now it's up to about 24, I believe, at last count. Including one of the new chapters in this book is on Colony Farms Regional Park. We dropped a couple of the chapters from the previous edition, and Colony Farms is a new one, along with the Sea to Sky Trail between Squamish and Darcy.
Now, someone asked me the other day where Darcy is.
Darcy is north of Pemberton by about 40 kilometers. When you get to Pemberton, there's a split in the highway there where one section of Highway 99 heads over towards Lillooet, and then the Pemberton Portage Road, which follows the old Gold Rush Trail from the 1850s, goes up from Mount Currie to Darcy along the Birkenhead River and lands you on the shore of Anderson Lake. And it was from there in the 1850s that the Gold Rush prospectors would head up Anderson Lake and Seton Lake in order to get to Lillooet, mile zero on the Gold Rush Trail.
Now, we talked about the number of regional parks. That's changed since 1989. What else has changed in this part of the world?
Well, I think what a big change is, in addition to the increased number of people who live in Metro Vancouver, is the pattern has become much more people going out on day trips rather than going out on overnight adventures, the way people had typically done in the 60s and 70s. By the time you get into the 1980s, a lot of baby boomers are having families, and so that's limiting the amount of time that they have to go and explore outdoors. It dovetails very neatly in with the particular focus that we bring. And when I say we, this book is a joint collaboration between myself and my partner in creativity, Louise Christie, whose photography graces the pages of the book and accompanies my columns in the Georgia Strait.
Yeah. You guys travel everywhere, right?
Well, certainly in our region, we travel everywhere. We are, I would say, specialists in British Columbia and the Pacific Northwest.
Yeah, and you guys still find it fun? I mean, some people find traveling a chore or tiresome. I mean, you guys travel a lot, so I'm wondering, what's that like?
Well, for one thing, traveling has become less of a chore as highways have become better constructed. Mm. For example, Highway 99 that leads north from Horseshoe Bay to Whistler has been really improved and cut the travel time down to from 2 hours to more like 90. And even more importantly, I was reading that the traffic fatalities on the highway from head-on collisions have dropped by about 80% with the improvements in the highway. So that's one thing that I think has made travel more attractive for us. But I think also accompanying that has been a growth in efforts by people to connect with local food producers, food and wine, for example. You know, we never used to have any vineyards at all in the Fraser Valley, and now when you drive out around Langley, you see the signs, you know, for the wine route. And there's about, well, 9 or 10 wineries now that are flourishing out in the Langley area. So that I find really attractive, Joe, and one of the things in the new edition of 52 Best Day Trips, for example, if you look at a regional park like Campbell Valley out in Langley, there's now a series of little wineries all that border on the park. Mm. And so not only can you explore within the park itself, but, say, by bicycle, in the course of a couple of hours riding around the perimeter of the park, you can stop and taste, I think it's Township 7, there's Buena Vista, and then there's the Domaine de Chabreton, which was the original winery out there from the 1980s. So those are the kind of things that I find that continue to motivate us to travel and want to encourage our readers to follow in our footsteps.
Now, I'm not a wine drinker, so I'm wondering what the quality of our wine is compared to, say, I don't know, other places in Canada or around the world.
Well, I find them very palatable. There's been a tradition of grape growing out in the Fraser Valley, probably 50 years or longer, but most of those grapes were used for making jams, mm. more for fruit purposes than for wines. But there's a winery now, the Fort Langley Winery, which specializes in making fruit wines. You can have apple wines and blueberry, but also out there at the same time, you've got there's an artichoke farm. There's a really progressive greenhouse operation out there. I was at the Vancouver Farmers Market up at Nat Bailey Stadium, the winter farmers market that's been going all winter long, and I just got some fresh eggplants that had just been harvested out there. So This is part of what I enjoy is you get out and you do a little exploration, whether it's walking or cycling or whatever, but then you can pick up some goodies to bring home to enjoy as a reminder of what you've seen and where you've been.
Now, the audience for these books that you write, Jack, are they mainly people like myself who live here, or do you find that tourists are picking them up as well?
I would hope it's tourists that are picking them up as well, because certainly the books are available in quite a wide number of areas. BC Ferries bookstores, for example, are great places for us to sell our books, and I would imagine that's more of people visiting the province who are shopping there. And despite the dire forecasts about how, you know, the death of print, there's certainly an increased interest in finding our books, not only in local bookstores, like Black Bond is a great network of a dozen stores out in the valley. We don't see them so much here in Vancouver, but they've got a, you know, all around metro.
Mm-hmm.
But also, more and more people are downloading our books onto, say, Kindles
mm-hmm.
or ebook devices, which that's something I've been watching for over a decade now. And when they first came out in the, you know, late 90s, early 2000s, it took a while for them to get traction. But a lot of people now are downloading them from Amazon, for example, where I think in the first 18 months that Amazon started to offer ebooks, the number of books they were selling in traditional format was eclipsed by ebooks.
Hmm.
It was the fastest growing segment of their book market that they'd ever seen.
Now, I'm just wondering, because this fascinates me, the price for an ebook is cheaper than that of a regular print book. As a writer, do you get paid the same?
Actually, I get paid a little more.
Really?
Yes, because the ebooks don't need to be warehoused.
Yeah.
They don't need to be trucked around.
Yeah.
And so it's definitely been beneficial to authors. And when you compare the prices that you're paying for an ebook compared to holding one in your hands, the companies like Amazon are pricing them well below what the list price is, just because they want to grow their market, and that's one of the ways that they do that. For my mind, though, nothing replaces holding a book in my hands, and I think the quality of the photographs and the maps, for example, are better in the in this print format than they are in electronic format. But that will change as the technology improves.
Now, there are 52 day trips in this book.
Yes.
Is this sort of set up so that it's one for every week? I mean, are the incumbent on say, weather?
No. The choice of 52 was a decision by the publisher, and yes, it does suggest that there's one per week, and I like that.
Yeah.
I like the subtext of this. In terms of weather, you have to look at things from a variety of perspectives on weather and on the seasons. For example, we've had such a snowy winter that most of the day trips that we're doing right now and that we're recommending to our readers all tend to be at lower elevation. It'll be well into the summertime before a lot of the routes at higher areas, say up around in the Lynn Headwaters region in North Vancouver, where it'll be well into the summer before some of those routes are snow-free. So in terms of weather, in our book, you have a lot of choices of where you could go and be closer to the ocean, for example, out at Iona Beach Regional Park out on Sea Island. That's an ideal place to go right now. And it's also one of the examples in the new edition where for people who want to go out and journey car-free, we have a lot more examples of how to do that. For example, the Canada Line, which is has come on since the previous edition of 52 Best Day Trips. You can now ride with your bike on the Canada Line and get off on Sea Island at the Templeton Station and ride out to Iona Beach Park, and it's a nice ride. It's absolutely flat, so the only thing that you have to contend with out there is if there's a breeze coming in off the Strait of Georgia, but it's places like that that are pretty much there's no such thing as bad weather, only bad clothing. So if you're the kind of person that's just needs to get out, and no matter what the weather is, that's our kind of people.
Yeah, and so these are day trips, obviously, and so how much is that something that you think about, how much time it takes to get to one place from Vancouver?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Exactly. I think 2 hours is about the tops of what we like to do, you know, in the car before we're ready to get out. So 2 hours would easily put you out at the east end of the Fraser Valley, for example. It would easily put you north of Whistler. Just that's a pretty good gauge when you're looking. And that's the most that we ask people to do in terms of going out on a day trip. Most of the day trips that are in the book are take a lot less time to get to. It's, especially when you travel in off-peak hours, Joe. You know, we can be out, say, at Kinehead Regional Park in Surrey in about 20 minutes from our house here in central Vancouver.
Yeah.
It feels like a lot longer if you're battling traffic, but right. On a nice weekend morning or at an off-period travel time, you can really get around Metro Vancouver a lot faster than you might think.
Now, you mentioned the condition of highways. Those have improved. How is our ferry system?
Well, our ferry system, we don't have the Albion Ferry anymore, which I think is a real loss. That was something that connected Fort Langley mm-hmm. with Maple Ridge, and with the opening of the new Golden Ears Bridge, I kind of missed that Albion Ferry. But at the same time, the Golden Ears Bridge is very pedestrian and cycle-friendly, so that if you were, for example, to take a drive out to Fort Langley, leave the car there, and get on your bike and start to ride, you could get down on that Fort to Fort Trail to Derby Ridge. Just beyond that is the Golden Ears Bridge, and riding up on top of that and looking down at the Fraser is one of the best free rewards for putting up with all the construction pre-Olympics.
There are also the trips in here, and this is what I like about how the book's set up, is that, you can make considerations for planning trips, say, long term, ahead of, you know, scheduling them ahead of time. But you can also do them at the spur of the moment, right?
Yeah, I think a lot of people, especially if you have younger children, it's harder to plan ahead. You just want to, on the spur of the moment, say, okay, we've got some time, where can we go? And just that's one of the things that I like about the book and the way that it's organized. For the first time, this new edition has in the back of the book an activities index. So if you have something in the mind that you want to do, whether it's cycling or, well, let's just take a look here and I can tell you right about it. But you can just look right here and it'll tell you exactly where the parks are. Where you can go to do whatever activity you have in mind.
Boating or camping, bird watching, swimming, say.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, all of those things that that are all in the that you're just rhyming off there, you know, whether it's picnicking, whether you just want a nice picnic site, or we have some things like horseback riding, kiteboarding that maybe are not as popular as some other sports, but of course there's always, you know, people out there who are really looking to do sort of cutting edge activity, and kiteboarding is certainly one of them.
Yeah, you can scuba dive and you can windsurf.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's surprising to me. I mean, do you find that as you do your work, as you research these books, that there are things that you can do that you probably wouldn't think of doing?
Yes, we live in a really dynamic part of the world, and there's always something new happening all the time here, whether it's stand-up paddle boarding out in Deep Cove, or as you mentioned, scuba diving. I'm always impressed when we go to White Cliff Park out in West Vancouver by Horseshoe Bay. There's always clubs and groups that are scuba diving there. They love that beach. Really makes me want to put on a wetsuit and have a look and see what's going on under the surface.
Yeah. What are your plans for the summer, Jack?
Well, this year there's a couple of places that we really want to check out. The Skagit Valley, which is out by Hope, south of Hope, is one of our favorite places to go and visit, so we've got that on our place to visit. We also now have just gotten our enhanced driver's licenses, and it means you don't have to carry a passport when you're going to go to a place like Point Roberts.
Mm-hmm.
So this weekend, for example, we're going to take our bikes, take the car, drive out to Sawasin, leave the car, and then bike across the border into Point Roberts, which is a place that I really like, the little lighthouse park right at the southern tip of Point Roberts is one of the most dramatic areas locally, because you have the Juan de Fuca Strait, you've got the Strait of Georgia, and you've got Haro Strait all meeting together just offshore there, and it's a very rich area for seeing killer whales, for example, and it's just a really interesting park, not to be confused with Lighthouse Park in West Vancouver, which is also in the book. So those are two things right off the top of my head, the Skagit Valley and Point Roberts that we've got on our horizon. And a lot of the times, like you were saying, it's kind of a spur of the moment. We'll look at the calendar and we'll say, hey, there's the weather's good and it's an almost full moon. We'd love to go out to Boundary Bay, for example, and watch the moonrise from behind Mount Baker during the summertime. It's a very dramatic and romantic sight.
Jack, happy travels to you and Louise, and good luck with this book. If I see you in your yard and I'm walking the street in front of our houses, I'll come up and say hi.
Please do. Yeah, imagine that. Here we're across the street from each other. We could be talking from the other side of town, but I really appreciate your support, Joe. It goes a long way for helping us promote the sales of 52 Best Day Trips from Vancouver.
You're very welcome. The website for more, jackchristie.com. The book is called 52 Best Day Trips from Vancouver. It's published by Greystone. Its author, Jack Christie, on the line. In Vancouver, I'm Joseph Plata.